Oh, Saints, sure is good to be back with you again. Let's go ask the Lord to be with us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your anointing to talk about the authority of the believers. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that today is going to be a special day that people will grab a hold of the Word of God and use it for themselves in a way that it would be pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for anointing us to get this message across in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about is our authority as a Christian. Ephesians 1, verses 22 through 23 says this, that he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. You know, the feet are members of the body. Feet aren't members of the head. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Well, it sure is nice to know that the least member of the body of Christ, those who are the very soles of the feet, or the little toenail, or the little toe, are far above the mighty forces of the enemy. Remember what Jesus said to the other 70 disciples that he sent out in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19? Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. How much authority over the devil does the church have? Is it any less than this? Well, no. Praise God, no. Yet if you listen to the average Christian talk or hear some preachers preach, you'd get the impression that the devil is bigger than everybody, that he's running everything. Well, I agree, he's the God of this world, so he's running the world system, but we're in this world and not of this world, the Bible says. So he's not running us. That devil has been walking on us too long. And these things are not joking matters. We're foolish to make light jokes about these things. I heard a preacher one time say, well, I've got the devil on the run, but the trouble is I'm running and he's after me. And when you make a statement like that, it just shows your ignorance. In the first place, you haven't any business running from the devil. The Bible says he'll run from you. You need to put him on the run. But unfortunately, I think that's the picture of preachers and churches too much of the time. In fact, most of the time, we see it all over the place. Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one, death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Jesus Christ. God's plan for us is that we rule and reign in life as kings, to rule and reign over circumstances, over poverty, over disease, and everything else that would hinder us. We reign because we have authority. We reign by Jesus Christ in this life. And too often we Christians act like young birds, having our ears shut and our mouths wide open. Now, anybody can come along and feed us anything, and we're ready to accept it. Well, I'm not going to keep my mouth open and my eyes shut. I'm going to keep my eyes open and my mouth shut. Praise God. God didn't intend for the devil to dominate our families. And when the devil tries to put sickness on them, get mad at that devil and tell him to take his hands off your children. Tell him this, he said, just tell him, said, I'm ruling over my domain. You're not ruling in this household. I am through Jesus Christ. That's going to put him on the run, and he'll run because he has to obey your authority in Christ. And we Christians must learn that we are seated with Christ. We have to learn to be exalted to the place where God wants us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, the church fails too often in this ministry of authority. Instead, she's bowed down to defeat and is overcome with fear. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 said, and hath put all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is head over sickness, disease, and anything else that's evil, as he proved when he was here on earth. Jesus is head over all things for the church's sake. And we need to meditate upon these divine truths so that our spirits may fully understand them. Once we do, we'll reap rich rewards. When we have this reverent attitude, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit can lift us into a place where we can see the true meaning of God's revelation. In Ephesians, Paul prayed that the church at Ephesus also might have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. God made Christ to be the head over all things to the church, and it's for our sake that he's ahead, so that we, through him, might exercise that authority over all things. And when we understand what belongs to us, we're going to enjoy the victory Christ has for us. Now that devil will fight to keep us from getting where we need to be, but through stubborn faith in Christ, the victory can be ours. Matthew 24:13, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Although he uses slightly different words, he says the same things he said to the Ephesians about God's plan of redemption. He doesn't preach a new or a different message to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? For in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross through him. And I say, whether things upon the earth or things in heaven. Now, over in the second chapter, we see that Christ was quickened by God the Father. Colossians 2:12 through 15. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. 15. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, verse 12 says, we were raised with Christ through faith in the working of God. And I want you to notice it was the Father who did this work. Verse 13 tells us that God not only made us alive, at the same time he made Christ alive, but he also forgave our sin. When Jesus the righteous yielded to death, that bond of the law against us was paid. The Father then blotted out the broken law and commandments which had stood between him and us. He nailed this canceled bond to his Son's cross. Paul is saying here in Colossians that it was God who formed the plan of redemption. It was God who raised Jesus from the dead. And it was God who gave him a name above every other name. And it was God who spoiled the demonic principalities and powers who opposed the resurrection of Christ. Death is a penalty for sin. So therefore, when Christ bore the world's guilt on the cross, that's the satanic powers of the air sought to exercise their rights and hold him under their power. The Bible says Satan had the power of death, but Jesus conquered him. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, "And the living one and I was dead, but and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus Christ took the keys away from the devil, glory to God. Keys belong to the authorized one. Those are the keys of authority. And we have to remember that physical death is not of God, it's of the enemy. Death is still an enemy. The Bible said it is the last enemy that will be put underfoot, praise God. That day's coming, folks, but you don't have your new body yet. You'll meet people who believe they're going to live forever down here in the flesh. But notice, none of them ever do. Folks, our body has to change. We're not going to live forever in this present body. The Bible tells us when it will be changed is when Jesus comes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the bodies of us who are alive then will be changed and become immortal. Until then, we have only a limited power over death. And after stripping the demonic powers of the authority that had been theirs, Christ, having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2 and 15. Paul's statement here refers to the fact that Christ was elevated above his enemies to the right hand of the Father, a subject that Paul writes about in the book of Ephesians. And again, Paul is stressing the Father's work in the overthrow of satanic powers and the defeat of Satan himself. In Ephesians, we also saw that the Son is seated above these powers and has the authority of the throne of God. But this is precisely where the church world as a whole has failed. It has understood that Jesus Christ is the supreme head of the church, but it has failed to understand that the head is totally dependent on the body for carrying out his plan. That we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that his exercising authority over the powers of the air has to be through the body. Now, we can understand as never before what Jesus meant when he said, "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 18 and 18. That's using his authority right here on earth. And a few of us get a little glimpse of authority once in a while, and some of us have sort of stumbled upon it and exercised it without realizing what we were doing. And the thing that got me started stumbling along this line was when I was asked the question, do we have authority that we don't know we have? And when I began to read about it, I found that we do have authority, thank God. I also found that heaven will back us up on what we refuse and what we allow. We've allowed a lot of things, but we just haven't exercised our authority. And that's why things are as they are many times. We hadn't done anything about the situation. We're waiting on God, and he's waiting on us. And he ain't going to do nothing till we act. No earthly father desires to do more for his children than God does. If his children would just let him do it. Some people think that God's a tyrant sitting on his throne holding a giant a ball bat in his hand. And the minute you do something wrong, they believe he's ready to knock you out of here. But that's not a true picture of the Father. The Lord is hindered in his plans because his body has failed to appreciate the meaning of Christ's exaltation and the fact that we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. We got a part to play in this. We have to cooperate with the Lord in faith. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us when we are born again would guide us into all truth. Now listen, folks, you need the Bible because you can't follow the Holy Spirit into truth apart from the Bible. If you don't know the Word of God, deception can creep in and take over. And when you get out beyond the written Word of God, you're getting out too far. Stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is from the Spirit of God. Holy men of old wrote it. The Word of God is of utmost importance. But you'll never understand it with your head. You have to understand it with your heart or your spirit. Don't put the spirit above the word. Put the word first and the spirit second, and you're going to be safe. There's a well-known Pentecostal editor, Stanley Frodsham, who was the author of Smith Wigglesworth's biography, brought out the fact that Wigglesworth was, first of all, a man of God's word, and second, a man filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, that's an excellent combination. The believer has to continually put on the spiritual armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the Christian who puts on this armor and engages in spiritual warfare is marked. By spiritual warfare, I simply mean doing the works of Jesus and taking our authority over the devil as we go about our daily lives. I'm not talking about purposely trying to go head to head with Satan in some kind of prayer combat, because the devil will do everything in his power to keep you from coming into this knowledge of authority over him. He'll fight you over this more than any other subject. And then after you have come to the knowledge of the authority, he'll oppose you and try to steal it from you. There's going to be tests, and sometimes people fail those tests. And the devil wants you to throw up your hands and say the authority of the believer won't work for you. I've heard people say that the authority of the believer doesn't work for them. Folks, if it doesn't work, God's a liar. In other words, they were calling God a liar. And if God's word doesn't work, it's because I don't work it. We may fail, but God's word don't fail. Because I believe his word is true. John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the enemy will resist your interference into his sphere or his realm because he's exercising authority over the powers of the air. And he wants to continue to do so. And when you interfere with Satan's kingdom by exercising your spiritual authority, he's going to attack you in an attempt to get you to back down from using that authority. And if you successfully resist Satan's attacks in one area, he'll come against you in another area. So you might as well get ready for these attacks because they're coming. In other words, your privileged spiritual position makes you an enemy to the devil. You see, the devil realizes he can't hold in bondage a believer who knows his authority in Christ Jesus. And such a believer is aware that he is seated with Christ in the heavenly places and that the devil is a defeated foe under his feet. And furthermore, this believer is convinced that no work of the enemy can prevail against him in carrying out the will of God here on this earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15, all the way through chapter 2, verse 6. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of the strength of this might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that worked, that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And then verse 6, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If believers take advantage of the spiritual armor provided for them, folks, the enemy cannot defeat you. And I don't believe that anything that's of the enemy should be able to defeat those of us who are members of the body of Christ. The believer must continually put on the whole armor of God. The Holy Spirit prayed to Paul that the eyes of the people would be open to know this full provision that has been made for their safety. Spiritual armor is outlined in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The different parts of this armor symbolizes spiritual truth that belong to the believer. Wearing this armor, the believer is protected and unhampered in this ministry of authority. And all he needs to be concerned about is keeping his armor bright and well secured about him. So let's go ahead and take a little bit closer look at this armor. First, there's the girdle of truth. That represents a clear understanding of God's word. And like a soldier's belt, it holds the rest of the armor in place. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. And this has a twofold application. Jesus is our righteousness, and we put him on first. It also shows our obedience to the word of God. Third, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this is a faithful ministry proclaiming the word of God. Fourth is the shield of faith. A shield is a covering for the entire body, and this represents our complete safety under the blood of Christ, where no power of the enemy can penetrate. Fifth is the helmet of salvation, referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 as the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, but let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation is the only helmet able to protect the head in these days of turning from the truth. A sixth is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This shows that the word of God is to be used offensively. The other parts of the armor are mainly defensive, but the sword, the word of God, is an active weapon. When you're dressed in the armor of God, you're prepared to withstand every attack of the enemy. Authority over demon spirits, not human wills. Although we have authority over demon spirits, we don't have authority over our fellow man or their wills. We miss it a lot of times in thinking that we do. Now, we have authority over demons, and we can control them as far as our lives or our family's lives are concerned, but we can't always control them when other people are concerned, because that person's will comes into play. And to be possessed is to be taken over entirely, spirit, soul, and body. You can have a demon in your body without being possessed by a demon. And you have to realize this. And although the devil does know some things, he is not all-knowing or omniscient like our Lord God is. Because of this, of his psychic powers, you can see that the devil does know some things. Some fortune tellers do predict events that come to pass. The devil even knows some of your thoughts. How do we know this? Because mind readers often can read your mind and tell you what you're thinking. And they don't do that by the power of God. You know, if people want to live in sin, they can. But if they want to be free, they can be free. But as long as they don't want to be free, neither Jesus nor anybody else can set them free. You cannot go around promiscuously exercising authority over the devil in somebody else. You've got authority over your own life and with your own family, but you cannot cast the devil out of everyone you meet on the street, even if they do have the devil in them, because they have authority over their own lives. And when people want help, that's another matter. And it's strange that sometimes even spirit-filled people don't want to help. Let me just point something out to you here. You don't just exercise spiritual authority on behalf of other people per se. You got to have the manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's why many are failing. They're trying to deal with spirits without the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, or any unction of the Holy Ghost. You see, you can run the devil away from your house anytime. And if a person is on your premise, you also have authority over them. But when you get away from your domain, the evil spirits have a right to be there, because Satan is the god of this world. That's the reason Paul had to wait many days to deliver the demon-possessed girl. He didn't command that spirit to leave her the first day. She began following him. He waited, and when the right time came, he spoke to that spirit, and it came out of her. And the Bible says concerning the ministry of Jesus that he cast spirits out with his word. It also says that he cast him out by the Spirit of God. It wasn't just his word speaking apart from the Spirit of God. You need to read the 12th chapter of Matthew. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But Jesus replied, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." And we know from the word that we have a spiritual authority. But we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us in ministering authority. We can't do it by ourselves. If the devil attacked me, I have no authority over him, because I have authority over my own life. I can tell them to leave my house immediately, and I can also control situation as long as people are in my presence, bringing the devil's power. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power over my grandson's life, and I clean his deliverance and his salvation. Somebody heard me say this and said they would try it and see if it worked. I knew it wouldn't work for them, because I hadn't tried it. I had done it. You know, sometimes believers say they're going to try something because it has worked for somebody else. But if they study God's word and clothe themselves in its teaching on authority, it'll work for them. But if they try to act on God's word without really having that word built up in their spirit, that devil will defeat them soundly. You'll only defeat the devil when you've got a foundation of God's word and you act upon it. The Bible says, speaking of Satan, who will stand steadfast in your faith? 1 Peter 5:9. Your level of faith is directly related to the degree of God's word dwelling in your heart. That is, that word which is reality to you and in which you are daily walking. You know, when people are in a place where faith is high, when there's a mass faith or whatever the gift of the Spirit are in operation, it's comparatively easy for them to receive healing. That's what happens in big meetings a lot of times. However, when these people get back on their own, the devil comes along with lying symptoms. The people don't have a foundation of faith in them, and the devil puts the same thing right back on them. And that's the reason you see people getting delivered from evil spirits, sickness, and a lot of things. And the next time you see them, they're right back where they were. Somebody will say, well, they never got healed to begin with. Well, how could a crippled man walk who had never walked before if he hadn't been healed? And if that wasn't healing, what was it? How could a blind man see? I've seen him do it, who had never seen before. How could a deaf person hear who had never heard before? They were all right until they got home. And after 2 or 3 weeks, their healing was gone. Why did they lose it? Because they didn't know their authority. They didn't know how to hold on to what they had. And so they didn't try to exercise authority themselves. Or if they said anything, they said the wrong thing. One time I saw a terminal cancer victim who weighed about 80 pounds that couldn't eat solid food, get healed after prayer. Then they went out, bought pork chops to eat. And they gained weight for a few weeks, and then because they didn't read and study the word, allowed their family and friends to talk them back into going to the doctor. Doctor told him that he couldn't find any sign of the cancer, but just to make sure, let's do one more round of chemo. It took her out. Now, it's not a bad thing to go on to heaven, but she was a relatively young lady and could have had an impact on many other people's lives if she had just gotten into the Word and trusted God. Some people say they hypnotize. Is that it? No, people get into the presence of God where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation, and it's easy to receive healing. And then when they get back on their own, they're really on their own. And that's why people need to be taught the Word of God and their rights and privileges as believers. Then they can exercise authority for themselves over the devil, disease, and circumstances. The Bible differentiates between casting out devils and healing the sick. Often people's physical conditions don't respond to prayer and laying on a hand because there's an evil spirit involved. Your body is the house that you live in. And if you know how, you can keep the demons out of your physical house. They won't be there if you use the right precautions. Well, how do we deal with demons? Well, we've got to depend on the Spirit of God to know when demons are present, to know how to deal with them. We're helpless without both the Spirit and the Word. Don't just be a Word person without the Spirit, and don't just be a Spirit person without the Word. Many try to act on the Word of God without the Spirit of God. You got to have both of them. The Spirit and the Word agree. You don't need to deal with the Spirit in every case of healing, but if you have to, the Lord will show you. The way I see it, God's an intelligent being, and I'm an intelligent being, and He can tell me if an evil spirit is present. I go as much by what He doesn't say as I do by what He does say. If He doesn't say anything, I don't try to deal with an evil spirit. I go on and minister healing to the person. Helpless people need to be helped. Sometimes you can carry them on your own faith, but people who know, people who are enlightened, have to walk in the light of what they know. that some people are more enlightened than others, because the more you know, the more is required of you. You can be released from oppression to your body and your mind. You can exercise spiritual authority over others as long as they are in your presence. And you can take authority over all unseen forces. And if you learn how to exercise spiritual authority like this, it'll work in your home as well. I've heard of women who exercise their spiritual authority when their unsaved husband came home arguing and fighting. The woman had learned how to quietly and calmly rebuke the evil spirits behind the situation and claim authority over them, and the situation changed. Jesus once told his disciple that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer many things and to die. Peter objected. Jesus immediately rebuked him, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That was in Matthew 16:23. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that Peter was Satan. He was showing that Peter had sided with doubt, unbelief, and the devil. You know, sometimes Christians unconsciously yield to the enemy. But you know, we can take authority over that spirit. The Bible says that we also can take authority over fear, even fear in our own lives. And we need to know that. However, we can't always take authority over fear in somebody else's life. Now, I've been able to control fear as long as a person was in my presence and didn't know how to stand against it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I want you to notice that the Bible calls fear a spirit. God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Even when I was young in the Lord, I always took authority over fear and doubt. And if I was tempted to doubt, I'd say, "Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus." And if I was tempted to fear, I would say, "Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus." Doubt and fear will leave you when you do this. We even have authority over those who oppose the truth. And once we realize that certain trials in our lives are the work of the enemy, and we cry out to God to rebuke them and alter circumstances for us. However, God's word tells us to rebuke the enemy ourselves. In James 4:7, we're told, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The authority over the devil is ours. The responsibility is ours. If we'll resist the devil, he will flee from us. The Bible doesn't say, "Get somebody else to resist the devil for you." It says, "We are to resist the devil." And too many of us sit idly by waiting for Jesus to do something, when we're the ones who are supposed to resist the devil. Why is that? Because we have the authority to. We always want someone else to do it, don't we? Now, of course, we're always going to have spiritual babies, and we ought to carry them on our faith. But some of us ought to grow up enough to be able to help look after the babies and not leave it up to one person to do everything. Conditions exist because we permit them. Matthew 18:18-20. "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And in these days, the body of Christ is going to face off the body of Antichrist. And guess what? If you see the body in that way as a type being snatched out over history, as Daniel did, that we are the people who are going to take dominion over the devil's kingdom and destroy it. That's according to Daniel, has been given to the saints. Daniel 7:26-27. And in these days, God is going to rise up in his people and crush the kingdom of the beast. The seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. And in these days, that's going to be fulfilled. And so we see here, he has put every principality and power under the saints. But in these days, it's going to be manifest. We are going to see greater works than was seen in Jesus' day in crushing the serpent. Jesus did it all. It was all accomplished, but also the body of Christ is going to bring it to pass in these days. You don't have to bring people to someone else. You could exercise your authority. He'll use you to cast out demons. Look at Psalms chapter 8 and verse 1. O the Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory upon the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avengers. Babes and sucklings. It doesn't sound like you have to be very mature to take dominion over the Lord's enemies, does it? And when you read on, you find out a text that was quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? 5, for thou hast made him but a little lower than God. Some verses say angels. The word is Elohim. It means mighty ones. And it's translated many times God, and Elohim is the plural of God, and is sometimes used about the angels. And it goes on and says, and crownest him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. There it is, all things. God's people are going to get the revelation in these days that they're the head and not the tail. That they're the above and not beneath. It's the opposite of the curse. And God's people have been given dominion. Jesus spoke to those who were in his name. He said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. John chapter 20, verse 21. This was first spoken of Adam in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that he was given this dominion over the earth. But what happened? Adam sinned, and everyone in him fell. He sinned, and they inherited sin, Romans 5 and 12. His servants ye are whom you obey, Romans 6, 16. He obeyed the devil, and then the devil took dominion over the earth. And then Jesus came along, who is called the last Adam, to restore that dominion, 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Because he was head of the spirit to be tempted by the devil, but he didn't obey. So he retained dominion and passed it on to his children. God is going to give grace in these days to people to believe. The feet are going to crush the serpent's head. The feet are going to destroy the beast's kingdom. And there is one world order being raised up. But guess what? There's always really been one. It's he that's in you and he that's in the world. There's been one for the world and one for the kingdom. We are a one world order. And we got to be connected to the head and let the word rule in us. The seed that brings forth the sons that do the works. So step up, folks, and take your position as sons of God and exercise dominion and cast out demons in Jesus' name. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. I hope this blessed you. And we'll see you next time, Lord willing. Goodbye, folks.